Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold on, Jude. Got to blow my nose.
You've been eating something.
Can you guess? Can you guess what I've been eating?
Well, there was a clonk of a spoon,
yes.
And it's cereal time.
You like Miss Marple?
For you? Yeah. Well, yes. Now I'm guessing. Let me have a think. I'm sort of visualising Raisin Wheats, but I've never seen them in your cupboard.
No, why would I have Raisin Wheats? No, why would I have porridge? I hate porridge. Every mouthful exactly the same.
Yes, I know what you mean about porridge.
Wallpaper paste.
I'm thinking muesli.
Got a mix. I've got a mix in there. You've got to be more specific than that. If you're going to be the Miss Marple of the culinary world.
Oh, all right then. Okay. Oh, I've got it. Dorset cereal.
Yes.
Okay, now which range? I think you've gone for the fruity one rather than the very nutty.
No, too sweet for me, too sweet.
Silly.
You have lots of brave fruit in it.
You've braved the nut.
I've braved the nut, yeah. I'm playing Russian fucking roulette with every mouthful.
Bloody are.
In my teeth. I am. That's how hard I am. I'm hardcore. Jeff had to go to the dentist yesterday. Hasn't been in, I'd say, 20 years.
Oh, no.
He's really naughty. He was so scared. It really made me laugh. And the thing is, our dentist, new dentist, very, very gentle. Give you an injection, you know, if you're the fainting type, which he
is. I already like him. Yeah, go on.
Her.
Why did I assume a man?
I don't know why you did, Judith.
I know.
A young-ish Asian, very, very good dentist. And she's very gentle. What Jeff doesn't know is the dentist is fine. It's the hygienist that's the killer. God in heaven. I'll see the dentist any old time. She's a pushover. But the hygienist, oh, God in heaven. He's
bossy.
Got an appointment next week.
Bossy.
Well, just really firm. I'm not gonna say bossy because that sounds rude. Firm and to the point.
Firm with a capital F. Well, if he hasn't been for ages, he's in for more than a telling off. He's in for detention.
He's been blessed with good gums. You see, my side of the family, the Hargreaves Eclair side, that you know, which Phoebe takes after more. Gum problems. Anyway, he wasn't even a Werther's in the car. It was when we were going up north to Dunes back in December. It was a wine gum, Judith.
Is he broken one?
Yeah, it was broken. Yeah, half his tooth came out. Anyway, they patched it up, but they're talking half a crown, didn't they?
Half a crown. Because half a crown sends us off to pre-decimalisation, doesn't it?
It does.
Just mean half a crown.
Half a crown. Half a sixpence is better than half. A farthing is better than half. Do you remember that?
Tommy Steele. Oh, I've got a terrible cough and cold, Jenny. Honestly, I know you're going to make me laugh, so it's no good me saying if you make me laugh. But honestly, I shall. I'm going to try not to cough too much, but it's not.
I'm really sorry because it's not fair because you've gone to Cornwall. Oh, Judith.
Yeah, I know. It's not great. Oh, love. I think I've given it to Sienna, and I've probably given it to the twins, and I've probably given it to Mike. But there you are.
Are you in quarantine I'll live. At the moment? Have they
Am I what?
Put you away? Are you in quarantine? Have they put you?
They put me away. I think they'd like to put me away. Yes. Well, but there's a lot of hot bedding actually at the moment in this place.
But that's you spreading your germs.
Well, I know, but there you go. Because you know, for Sienna, actually, the only reason she's come away with us is she's got some. She's got a bit of sleep. She's got a bit of childcare. Mm-hmm. She's bored with us though now. She's bored with us, I can tell.
Are you getting on her nerves?
Well, it's just round the edges. There was just a moment last night when we were both in the kitchen together, trying to get round each other. And I caught myself saying, you know, a suggestion of something to do with the boys. And I regretted it at the moment.
Why did you even try that?
I know. It was foolish. It was
not in the kitchen. In the kitchen. Why should you never argue with your daughter in the kitchen? Sharp knives. They've got access to sharp knives. If they lose it, you could be really in trouble, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
Kitchen's
right.
The most dangerous place to have an argument. Boiling hot water in kettles, sharp knives,
yeah,
mallets.
You're not wrong. Yeah, yeah. And in yours, worse than that.
Yeah, rolling pins. Did you see Happy Valley? I didn't really believe
did,
that scene,
by
the
did.
Way. I didn't believe yeah. that scene. I just didn't quite pull it off for me.
I know what you mean. It took me by
surprise.
That's not,
anyway, no spoilers. No spoilers.
No spoilers. No, we have, need to get on to that. We need to get on to it.
Yes, we'll discuss later. Go on.
Okay,
what?
You've got a big day tomorrow, Jenny, and I think you're travelling north, aren't you, later on today?
Yes, late after right? this. We're recording quite early yeah. today. Not early for you, probably. What well, time have you been
not.
Up since?
Oh, 5:30, obviously. Obviously been up since 5:30. The twins started staring. Two great big poos they'd done this morning when I went into the bedroom. Mike was on. Mike was
could
on the
smell
night
them?
Shift.
Could you smell them?
Oh,
could you smell
could
them?
I
even
smell
with a cold.
Them?
Oh,
Christ! Very, very ripe. So yes, I've been up for a while, but I'm off duty now for quite a long time. You know what I mean?
Good,
off
good.
Duty. Yeah. Anyway, but so you're. What about the snow? Because you're going. Well, you're going up to the funeral. So my
well,
God,
no
you've got to get
here.
There.
It's very, very cold in London, Judith. I have been worried about snow. I have to say. Now
yeah,
the weather looks
surprised.
Very nice where you are. I've seen a couple of photos, and there seems to be a lot of sunshine. It's a crisp, clear Wednesday here in London town, and I'm relieved that there doesn't seem to be too much snow up and down the country, and hopefully the trains will be running. Because, you know, these days, trains are made of paper. They used to be made of metal and steel
yeah.
and hard
yeah.
things like that.
Yeah.
But these days, they're made of paper.
Yeah.
They decided
That's probably the problem,
some years
isn't
ago.
It? Yeah,
yes,
bit of cardboard.
It's been a problem.
A few
just some
bits
cardboard.
Of cardboard on the edges.
Yeah, cereal
yeah.
packaging the trains are made of these days. I mean, it's probably good for the planet and all this kind of thing. But they fall to pieces and they stop working. And they can't really go out in the wet or the cold or the
no.
snow. So
no.
We should be catching a paper train, fingers crossed, of anti-West Coast this afternoon, going up to the funeral. Oh. And then that's tomorrow, because it's...
Well, know, when you say you, so is Phoebe going up with Arlo as well?
Yeah, but she's going from her neck of the woods, you know. She's not on the same bus route as us. So that's been complicated, Judith. So we've ended up with the car seat. We've got a suitcase. Jeff didn't like it, because I said, we're going to have to share a suitcase. We're going to have to share. He didn't like that. He doesn't like sharing.
Does he?
But I've made him, because he's going to have the suitcase. And what have I got? The car seat.
You've got the car. What you're carrying the car seat?
The baby
on
car
the tube.
Seat.
Oh God!
Yes.
Oh, that's a new.
Yeah.
Have you got a big? Have you got one of those blue IKEA bags? That's what
no,
I would
that's
do.
Not a bad idea.
Oh, I've sorry.
Well, I hadn't thought.
Well, it's better than not bad as an idea. It's a fucking brilliant idea. I
oh,
mean,
Judith,
you know.
I mean, the only thing is, I'm not sure I got one. I think I gave the last one away to somebody who's in need of it. But what I have got in the back of the car is a very, very big hold-all that belongs to somebody else.
There
and it might just... I don't know, though. I might just wear it jauntily over my arm like a handbag. Do you know what I mean? Just get in people's way.
Yeah, or you might be able to get it, you know, get your straps right as a sort of a very annoying rucksack.
It's almost worth, isn't it? It's almost worth trying to get the straps to go long enough so that I can get it on my back like
I
a great big tortoise shell.
Absolutely. And
like massive, well, you know, like, you know, when Mike's going to Galapagos and he's going to bump into giant tortoise, that sort of thing. And just go on the northern line with that.
Yeah.
And just
hands-free.
Fucking crack a few people across the... Yeah.
Because the interesting thing is, isn't it, is that if you did that... and by the way, if I were you, I'd take an elastic band. I'm just saying that because I reckon it might come in handy. Well, because I think you might get the straps sorted so they come out the front. But I've got a feeling you might need to join them together at the front. So that's what I would do when I was a girl guide and a rather good one. But
I'm now panicking about not having a rubber band in my house.
Have you? Oh, no, you probably haven't, have you? Yeah, the postman drops them everywhere here. They're all over.
Not, I put them in the bin. I should make a big rubber ball out. And that, well, that's another project. That's another project for this year. I've got my visible darning and I've got my great big elastic ball.
You've got a lot
I'm going to make.
On your tortoise, on your car seat as a rucksack. I think it would be very interesting, you see, to see people's faces because they would be thinking, okay, why? Like, why?
Yeah.
What's the story here?
Yeah.
And I think
and where's
that
the baby?
Where's the baby?
Where's the baby?
Yeah.
What's she done with the
where's
baby?
The baby?
Yeah.
And she's stolen
it. It's not her baby, is it? Look at the state of her. I think a few other Miss Marples on public transport would go, oh, there goes Nana. There goes Nana, helping out. Probably on the way to a funeral. Look, they're wearing black coats. Actually, I'm not. I'm wearing my leopard skin, I think.
Oh, are you? That's nice. Is there a dress code? Is there a dress code?
No, of course there isn't. It's no, it's casual. It's a homemade ceremony. There's it's a humanist ceremony. I thought you were going to be. I thought you and Mike trained to do the humanist ceremonies.
Oh yes, he has. He is one. He is one. He does humanist ceremonies.
Oh,
yes, he does. Could
have come up.
Could have
come
do you know
up.
What?
You could, the two of you could have made a day trip. You haven't done any of them.
No.
Oh, you're not
I know.
Well enough anyway. We don't want you spreading germs.
No,
there.
You certainly wouldn't. You certainly wouldn't. No. Order of service.
There
is a
nice
photo.
No, there isn't an order. Okay. No, there isn't. We didn't do that. Sarah's been in control of this. It's like controlling older sister shit. I'm not having an order of service. I don't like them. Okay, so no order of service. Everyone gets a postcard with the picture of June with her bicycle on the front. And the quote
Lovely.
Inside says, "We did have fun, didn't we?" Which is what she said to my father when he died.
Oh, what a gorgeous quote.
So that's
Blimey.
That's it, really. We're going
Beautiful
very
quote.
Simple. It's a willow casket.
Oh, lovely.
And humanist ceremony. No hymns. Mike can talk about that. You're not allowed hymns if you've gone down the humanist line.
Yes, that's a shame. I think some humanists do allow it. I mean, they're not supposed to, but I think some do. Some are flexible. And I do... You see, I do quite like to sing something. But so you're not actually singing anything together. You are. I know you've got
join
music
in if they
in
want.
It.
We've got some music. Daisy's singing a Helen Beautiful. Reddy song. She's Beautiful. Singing I Am Ready. I mean, if anyone knows the chorus, they can
oh.
well, you know, maybe
well,
we'll go
well.
Again, you know. So yeah, we'll have another well. Round of that. We'll have. Maybe they could do a roundelay, you know, one a side roundelay. Then followed by the other. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do. And flowers?
So
flowers?
Confused. Yeah, flowers are being done. It's a winter sort of, because it's January, so it's going to be winter greens with, florist said, I know your mother liked freesias, so we're going to get some freesias
oh.
and we're going to make a sort of little posy of freesias
oh,
in amongst
beautiful.
It.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, that's so lovely. Honestly, it's those touches,
you'd enjoy
isn't
this.
It? Well, I know, I'm starting to think. I do, yeah. Oh, no, that sounds beautiful. It really
I'll tell you
does.
What the sweet thing is, that the yeah. the thing that has touched me, the only thing that has brought me close to tears, because I'm not weepy about this at the moment. I mean, I probably will be
you
a basket will
be
case tomorrow.
Yeah.
I am not suffering from what I would call grief, because I genuinely am very much at peace with June's death. I mean, I still yeah. can't believe I won't see her yeah. again. That's a yeah. totally different issue. I have a really, yeah. really, I have a real problem, in fact, with death being final. I never find death final. I still wouldn't be surprised if I turned a corner and I saw both my parents, right as
oh.
rain, in the supermarket. It just doesn't
yeah.
ever
yeah,
really come to a full stop. And
well,
I think,
I don't
the
think
process...
it does with any of us. Nothing, no, it doesn't with any of us, does it? We still can't
I think,
really
well, I think people have
it.
Very different attitudes to grief and or to death. And some people yeah. really believe in heaven. But, you know, for me, the process had been so drawn out and each deterioration was a little grief in itself. So there's no massive wave of it now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've been taking these small hits for 2.5 years.
But
yeah,
yeah,
I think
so
I'm
what,
sort of being a bit bravado-ish now.
You are.
Because
I'm
there's
afraid.
No point getting yeah. upset now. Yeah. There's no point, because I have dry eye disease anyway, and crying really, really doesn't help.
Yeah.
So I'm
yeah.
not going to start that now, if you see what I mean.
Well, absolutely. And if you don't cry, you don't cry. There's no shame in that. I mean, it's, you know, that's it will be what it'll be.
I think
but,
if
so
I don't
what's...
cry, I'll get a migraine because I'll have bottled it up somewhere.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I am getting quite a lot of headaches at the moment.
Yeah.
I often wake up with a headache because I've been clenching. I'm even clenching through my
oh,
night
really?
Guard.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's manifesting in another way. I'm kind of quite angry. I think that this has happened also in amongst a lot of shit at the beginning of the year. You know, January is the cruelest month. And it's
yes,
one,
I know what you mean. It's a difficult month, isn't it?
And it's
yeah.
one blow yeah. after another at the moment. You know, you think, right, my mother's died. Can I just be let off the hook for the rest of the month, please? Thank you very much. But no, it's been a new boiler. It's been my car had to go in. It's been...
Yeah.
It's just been yeah. one sort of thing after another where you just go, I'm drowning under this now.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
this is hard work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you were going to say that something moved you more than anything.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah,
yeah,
you're absolutely right. So I'll tell you the detail of this funeral that I think is going to push me over the edge. The nursing home where she spent the last two and a half years nearly,
uh-huh.
In Lytham, they want to drive by. And they will come out.
Wow. Oh, Jenny.
I know. The staff will come out and wave. And that, see, that is the thing that I can't deal with. That'll it's only be... that. And thinking about my aunt that makes me cry. And I'm absolutely fine with the rest of it.
Yeah, but what a beautiful thing to do.
Well, I mean, we might not even be in the... Is it called a cortege? You'd know, because you love a funeral.
Cortege.
I think I got confused between corsage and cortege. Corsage is a flower in your lapel. The trouble is, we're not in one of the limos because my sister said how many limos we could have. And there's not room for us. And they won't take a baby baby seat. So we're in minicabs at the end.
Oh, are you? Right.
Yeah.
But they'll wait for you. They'll wait. I mean, they will wait for you. Of course, they'll wait for you. They'll be waving to you too until you all go by. Of course, you will. No, that's beautiful. I think that's absolutely wonderful. It'll be a difficult day, but in sometimes it'll be a joyous day as well. And I think the music sounds great.
And Phoebe's doing a poem as well. So and she's written a poem about June. So that's
beautiful.
Nice. So tell me more about Cornwall and the twins and what they're up to and all that sort of thing.
So we're hotbedding in Cornwall. So it's we're down with the twins and Sienna, obviously. Wouldn't do it on our own. my God. We've had our exams. We had part of this week had to involve because, as you know, the childcare job is starting quite imminently. So we had pram lessons and we've had car seat lessons so far. We've had revision on first aid and taking temperature. And so far, I've had a good pass, apparently. That's all. A good pass with the pram. Uh-huh. And I've got a high pass with the car seat. Mike, I'm afraid, is doing a resit.
On what? On both.
Oh, yeah, he's doing a resit today. Yeah, a resit. Well, I mean, come on. I know what he's doing. I know exactly what he's doing. He's doing what you and I do with utility bill emails. He's kind of zoning out a bit because if he does, he knows that I'll have to do it. Yeah, but no, I'm going to walk away. I'm not going to be around. He's got to pass them. Oh, it's complicated, though.
The thing is, because ours is only a single pram. Mm. And we went for the yo-yo. There are two buttons that you have to press on either side of the pram to collapse it. And, of course, with my palsied, weak left hand, I can't do it. I seriously don't know what disabled parents do.
Yeah.
You have to have quite a lot of purchase on the thumb. You have to push it in quite hard.
Yes.
I just can't do it. Won't do it if you do one then the other. So
yes,
you
know, exactly.
It's a two-person job for when I'm doing it. I mean, it's ridiculous. Arlo's going to have to butch up a bit, to be quite honest. He's going to have to collapse his own bloody pram.
Yeah. That's what we should be teaching them first, isn't it? Never mind potty training. Sort your pram out. Get yourself sorted out.
Get yourself into your car seat as well, because it's going to do my back in. Hop in and strap up. Man.
It was
bad tempered yesterday, Arlo. I've never seen him bad tempered.
You've never seen him bad tempered? Gosh, no. He's a sweet natured baby if you haven't seen that. Wow.
He was just a bit grumpy yesterday and he kept giving me and Phoebe kind of slightly dirty looks as if to say, oh, God, you two. Yeah. We had to go to the hairdressers. We both went to the hairdressers for a trim. So we look smart. At least we look sort of not, you know, non-feral, because both Phoebe and I can go scarecrow very easily. So we popped down the road to the hairdressers and Arlo was with us and he was just a bit grump. We've got two teeth through. You know, the traditional two that come through first.
So you'll be giving him some solid food soon, won't you?
Well, I think he's ready now. This is, you know, the thing is, Judith, he's quick with his teeth and he's not sitting up unaided by himself.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
He's a keeler over. You know,
he's a skittler.
I think his head's quite heavy and I think that small babies sit up quicker because there's less weight. You want a short spine and a light head for an early sitter.
Okay, you with logistics.
Well, my cousin Nigel didn't sit up until he was about two or something ridiculous.
Why? Because he got a big head.
Because, well, my aunt took him to the doctors and she said, look, he's not sitting up and all the other babies are sitting up. As my sister once said to me, well, the girls always sit up quicker. They're always sitting up and knitting, aren't they? When you go to those parent groups, the girls are sitting up knitting. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, they're keen, aren't they? Conscientious, so yeah.
The doctor said to my aunt, well, of course he's not sitting up. You've seen the length of his spine.
Wow.
My cousin Nigel is about 6'5", I think. So you have a long spine, a heavy head.
Gosh,
you're a slow sitter. There we go. So,
well,
you know,
you learn something every day, don't you, with this podcast?
Well,
every
I think
week.
If there are any smug nanas, I think we have to watch smug nanadom as well. I really do, because
yeah,
there's something wrong with all of them. So she's not done that started weaning yet, but we have got the high chair.
Oh, which one did you go for?
IKEA, of course.
Oh, they're good. They are so. They're cheap. They're easy to put together. Marvellous things. Marvellous.
Right,
they're only about 15 quid, aren't they?
They've gone up to 20 because everything's gone up, Judith. Fucking thing has gone up. So that was originally for us, but Phoebe hasn't got a high chair because she can't. She can't fit one. There's one at Vanessa's that used to be hers, so we'll probably end up with that anyway. So she's got the IKEA one. And she wouldn't let me start. I said yesterday, this child is grumpy because he wants food. I think he wants food. And I think, why don't we just pop into the supermarket after the hairdressers and just get a little sachet
of some mush. Yeah.
And she wouldn't let me because she said that she and his father wanted to do it together and have a moment, their first moment of weaning together.
They did. They want a photo opportunity. Absolutely. Get some mush in him. I thought,
what, this child, there's a butcher's on the corner, they do a good pork pie. Oh, there we go. Anyway. But he did say popper last week. And
did he?
He was sitting on Jeff's knee, and Jeff was going popper, popper.
And he said popper. He copied him. That's going to be a bit of a competition here. Go off you. There's a bit of a competition now between the grandchildren.
Judith, I think it was wind. I think it was complete and utter. It was like a burp.
I'm attributing it to wind. Absolutely.
I can promise you, it was wind. It was just Jeff.
But Jeff was pleased, then, wasn't he? Jeff was thrilled.
Jeff's a nutcase. Anyway, he's only a baby. This is a question.
What?
Are the twins still babies? When do babies stop being babies?
Bainies. Stanley doesn't look like a baby anymore. He looks like a boy. He looks like quite a naughty little boy. And he's, tell you what he's done. Yeah, now, Eddie gets something because Eddie can't move, you know, he can't crawl. So basically, poor Eddie just gets whatever you put in front of him and then it rolls away. But literally now, Stanley can be over the other side of the room and he sees Eddie given something and he makes a beeline right for it and takes it away. And he started sitting between Eddie and what he wants in front of him and what Stanley wants. Start of sibling rivalry. So I think maybe it's when they start becoming... I suppose little personalities, really, do you think?
Yeah.
Well,
we'll have to put Arlo in the middle of the two of them because we're arranging a play date, aren't we, in February?
Exciting,
I'm very
it?
Excited about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, me too.
And we'll just shove Arlo can just lie on his back in the middle of the two of them. They can fight over him. That'll be fine. Now, the other controversy that we kicked off last week, Judith, and you poo-pooed it. You poo-pooed it. I told you it was a thing. The darning controversy / movement. Yeah.
Well, it's been a big thing amongst the gang, hasn't it? The darning controversy. I had my wrists slapped because I was a little bit sarcastic, wasn't I, about your visible darning, which I said was just bad darning. Yeah. And, there's quite a few people in the gang that said, oh, no, Judith, don't you realise it's a thing? Oh, no, where have you been? Yeah, right behind the times I am. And you've got, I know darning mushrooms are plenty there, where on the notice board. Yeah.
I'm thinking of getting a mending basket, Judith, a wicker mending basket for by the fire.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think it's the indoor version of wild swimming, to be quite honest. I think it's one of those things that is great, but if you bang on about it a bit too much, people go, oh, for fuck's sake, you know, we're all right. We know about visible darning. Jesus, God. You know, I was thinking wearing June's darned cashmere jumper to the funeral, but I don't think some people would get it, so better
no,
not.
No, I see people like me, they'd be thinking, why is she, look at that. You think she might put something decent on. I know, I'm still not quite signed up to it. I know we should be, I know.
Have you not done one? I thought by now you did. No. I thought you'd have had a frenzy.
Yes, well, I know. You know what I'm like for copying you. But yeah. No, I think on this occasion, I'm not sure I am going to. Because I'm sticking with my invisible ones. Thank you very much. Very nice, very jolly.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, listen, I've got to tell you and the gang about something really quite terrible. I was going to say really quite shit, but actually you'll see that that's very appropriate. That happened to us last week. I mean, seriously, we were nearly scammed, Jenny. We were nearly scammed.
God.
Okay. Yeah. So this is what happened, right? For the last few days before this happened, I thought, there's a funny smell in the porch. And I was thinking, you know, what's happened here? Is it somebody got a bit of poo on the boot or whatever? Anyway, it was sort of building up. So one morning I went outside and I looked in the kind of drain next to the back door. I don't mean a manhole cover. I just mean a little drain, you know, where...
Yeah, just one of those with
tap.
A grid over it. Oh, no,
exactly.
It doesn't even have a... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, one of those. It was sort of rain drain thing.
Yes.
And I thought, it's full of, must be full of leaves. So I had a bit of a stir around, thinking, well,
did you put a rubber glove on?
I put a rubber glove on. Thank God, because you can guess what there was in there.
Oh, it wasn't really
bloody poo. It's poo. It's poo, Jenny. So straight on to Dynarod, obviously, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And they couldn't come for over a week. Too busy.
Oh, God.
Too busy.
Okay.
I thought, you can't have poo floating around, can you? Because actually, I'd noticed that the bath was taking a long time to empty of late. And also, you have to flush the loo. So actually, it was all starting to add up. So I had to try someone else. So I thought, well, you know, I've got one. So they come along and they said they can come straight away, two of them. And they gave me an hourly rate. And I thought, well, that's cheaper than Dynarod. And they can come now. So yes, please. In they come, one sort of little teenager and a guy who's very, very personable. I mean, lovely guy. Northern, chatty, you know, really got him on well, made them both a cup of tea. And they start, you know, looking for the manhole covers, and they open up all the manhole covers. It was absolutely ghastly, as you can imagine. You know, they get the rods out, and then he said, oh, well, you know, I think we're going to have to get the cameras out because this is a really bad blockage. And I won't charge you for the cameras, he said, but I think it would be just as well because I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but you know, you might have some roots down there. Oh, shit, I say, right, okay. And so off they go for about another hour, and he's, you know, putting rods down, and then the camera comes out. And he said, well, it's quite bad news. So he showed me the screen and great roots coming out of it. And he said, well, this is quite bad news. This goes under the house, and, you know, you've got, it's an old house, you've got splits in your pipes, you know, can't leave it like that. We're going to have to get these lined. You're going to have to get them lined. Oh, right, okay, I say. Off he goes again on the phone for ages. Comes back. By which time Mike's back, and he said, well, we can do it tomorrow. That's the good news. We can do it tomorrow. It's going to cost £5,000.
Right.
£5,000.
Okay.
Shit. Yeah. You know, a bit like you, we've had a really expensive year. And, oh, God, Mike and I are thinking, God, this is really depressing. We're going to have it done, aren't we? We're going to have it done. And I thought, £5,000 is a lot of money, isn't it? And then I started to think, well, wait a minute. You know, there's no markings on the van. Yeah. I thought, well, I better just, you know, why don't I just Google them? I'll just Google them and see if there are any reviews. They're still outside, you know, got all our drains open and everything. So I started to Google them. The first few were really good. Lovely guys, you know, really efficient, had the drains cleaned in no time at all. Good. I think, well, that's, you know, okay. Start scrolling a bit further down. These guys are crooks. Don't deal with them. They will tell you that the camera is live. It's not live. And they will tell you that you've got roots in your pipes and you have to have them relined. Oh. We paid, you know, some people saying £3,000, some people saying five, some more than that to have them. And, you know, it's still not right. The drains are still blocked. And the insurance companies won't pay anything because they say, you know, these are scammers.
They're not certified.
And you should have got two quotes anyway for anything to do with something.
So what did you go back and tell these guys? Well, what did you say? Did you say need two quotes for insurance?
That's
purposes?
Exactly what I said. I
clever Judith, because they can't deny that.
They can't deny that.
You go all nice and go, I'm so grateful for your quote. But as you know, being professionals,
exactly.
We need two quotes.
Yes, exactly what I said. But you know, the drains still aren't right, and the guy that in
did you manage to get another quote?
Well, no, but the point is that I don't think we needed to, you know, because the camera wasn't live. I don't think we've got roots in the pipes at all. I just think we had
blocked you haven't.
Drains.
And also, you know, your house isn't that old, is it?
It's quite old, but then, you know, I told somebody else and they said, well trees roots from where? You haven't got any big trees, right?
Well, that's what I mean. Not next to the house, not close enough to the house.
Exactly.
That's what I mean. You'd have to live in a really ancient house next to really ancient trees for the roots to have spread that far, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think there's any roots in the pipes at all.
I don't think there'll be. No, I don't. I think it'll be, there might be some blockage, but it won't be as dramatic as they're saying.
They were so nice, these guys. I can't.
Confidence tricksters are. It exists all the time. I mean, I think we're getting to an age, and you live in the countryside, and they just completely prey on people that they guess aren't very au fait with these things. You know, they see you live in a nice house, and they think,
and we're older.
Is this a 3 grand job or a 5? Cage job? Let's go five. They've got two cars on the drive. Right. Yeah.
I think that's exactly right. I really do.
Right then, Culture Corner. TV, Judith, what are you watching?
Well, we have finished series two of The White Lotus, and I know you've seen them too, both a series, and I think it's one of the best things I've seen in years. I loved them.
Really liked it. I didn't absolutely fall for it entirely and utterly. I thought series two was better than series one, actually. Did you?
Possibly was. I didn't warm to it so quickly, but both brilliant, I thought. Yeah. Clever format. You know, sort of seeing your dead body and then you go back over the week and have to try and work out whose body it is. But the characterisation and the scenery and the humour, absolutely brilliant. But didn't you love the Jennifer Coolidge character?
Yeah, very much. I mean, I think it's the Jennifer Coolidge story gives us sort of hope and joy for all women over 60. I wrote an article about Jennifer Coolidge and Michelle Yeoh, who both won Golden Globes this year. Yeah, women over 60. I mean, very different women. I think I think all of us can recognise something in Coolidge.
Definitely.
That character she plays in White Lotus, that very spoiled. As you said in the notes, say what you said in the notes about her costumes, her dresses.
Well, because she looks, you know, she's very wealthy and travels with masses of luggage. So all these kind of costume changes. But she looks like she's going to a birthday party as a sort of six-year-old, doesn't she? Sort of bows and flounces and frills that really don't suit her often. And
I think she looks great in everything. But I do agree, it is party frocks all the time.
Girl.
And what I love about her is that she has a tummy. You don't often see women over 60 on the television as sexy women, you know, needy, sexy, difficult, whatever, funny, with big tummies.
Yeah, big tummy that's very sort of obvious. But she's, you know, there's that kind of knowing but sort of vulnerable. I don't know, there's something about that, as you say, that character, which is very attractive and very, you know, you want to protect her, but also ridiculous. All the characters, I thought, were quite subtly drawn. And but she was my favourite, absolutely my favourite. And
what was interesting about the writer who's written those two series is that in both series, there's a sort of double act of teenage girls or young women.
Yes,
that
yes.
Are, as you've just said, very subtly drawn. There's sort of something weird and odd about them. I mean, you know, you could just say, oh, they're just like that, but they're not. They're really complicated and they're... All the characters are very drilled down. There's some really lovely performances as well. And Chris Moltisanti from Sopranos in series two, he's like the dad.
Yes.
And I got very excited when I saw him. Anyway, there we go. So we both really enjoyed White Lotus series one and two. Now, I'm just going to ask, did you watch Maternal the other night?
No.
Right, it's
what's that?
A new three-woman hospital drama on ITV, and it is very obviously ITV. It needed a cliche sweep. Somebody needed to go through it with a red pen before they started filming, going, cliche, 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 cliche. Apart from that, though, that it has a great deal of promise. It's three disparate women who have had children or some of them have got two kids. There's three of them. So one's got one kid, one's got two, and the third's got three. They've all got various complicated backstories, private lives, and they are all dumping their children, literally in one case, in childcare and then going back to work in a hospital. It starts with a line that I sort of had a tiny bit of an issue with in some respects, which was the sexy go-getting wannabe surgeon saying, right, come on, girls, let's go use our brains, which sort of suggests that women...
Yeah,
who,
that motherhood is not
motherhood,
evolving.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I don't like that. I agree.
That made me wince. I thought that is such a divisive line to kick a series off with.
Retrogressive as well, and just not helpful and sneery and untrue, totally untrue as well.
Yeah. So I had to get over that. There was a moment where I thought, well, this could go straight off. And I thought, no, give it a bit more time. And there was a review in the Times this week, which I thought was spot on. So basically saying, give it another chance. So I think I will.
Okay. And what else? And you've been watching something else that you mentioned.
Yes. Now, this is an odd one. Really casting around for stuff to watch because, you know, once you've done your White Lotus, what have you got?
I know.
What there is on Netflix is a documentary called The Hatchet-Wielding Hitchhiker, which is one of the most
off-putting... Strange title.
Terrible title. Awful title. Sounds like it's going to be a bloodfest. It actually isn't. It's about a TV viral sensation... and it's really about mental health. It's about America not realizing that somebody they presume to be a hero is actually insane. It's a strange one. I mean, I don't want to do any spoilers or anything, but it's about a hitchhiker who hitches a ride in a car with a man who then goes, has a sort of episode, a psychotic episode, and tries to run over a black person. And the hitchhiker wields a hatchet and stops him. So, and then is interviewed by a lot of local press. And then it sort of gets that the story rolls and rolls and gets bigger and bigger. And he's this cute, like, guitar playing, you know, topless, skinny bum kind of young man with long hair, a little bit of Jesus in him, all this sort of thing. And before you know it, he's on chat shows, he's being invited to play with bands, and then it's about actually who he is, what he is, and what happens next. It's really dark.
It's a drama?
No, it isn't. It's pieced together. I mean, you as a producer will know, it will sort of spot what it is. It's pieced together footage and sort of talking heads after the event in the end. It's quite interesting.
Bizarre. Yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I've got two things I might try there.
It's a bit niche. I think you will enjoy Maternal better, especially if you've got... Okay. I think it'd be interesting to watch with Sienna.
I'd like to
watched it with Phoebe and seen sort of...
Yes, yes.
Of course, you know, she's a writer. She'd have been going, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like watching legal dramas with my brother and sister. It's impossible.
Yeah, I bet.
And now, yes, Happy Valley, there was one scene in it. They didn't manage to pull it off for me. The rolling pin scene, that's all I'm going to say.
Yes, it was strange, but not in a fantastically good way. However, I do forgive it. I forgive it totally because of the sandwich. The sandwich scene or the cafe scene between the two sisters where she pretends that she's in Leeds. She's watching from behind. I'm not explaining that very well, but you know what I mean.
Everyone that's watching knows exactly what you're talking about.
And I think sits down.
I think everyone knows what a brilliant actress Sarah Lancashire is, but I don't think we should forget the actress playing her sister, Siobhan Finneran.
She's brilliant. Absolutely. Yeah. Very good as well. They're a great twosome.
Weaker than her sister. Playing the person who is just more easily influenced and weaker.
Yes, yes.
It's a lovely
more vulnerable and more damaged. It's a great relationship that between the two sisters. Very, very good. It's a great series. But I know what you mean about that storyline with the chemist.
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next week.
We splashed out, I think, and hired, splashed out and paid whatever it was, $5.99, watching that film, which is on at cinemas, and somebody recommended to me, called The Banshees of... with Colin Farrell, and it's about a friendship that has been going on for a very long time. It's sort of set during the Irish Civil War, and one of them sort of goes off the other and basically decides that in his sort of last years he doesn't want to be friends with Colin Farrell at all. But it takes this kind of weird, gruesome series of turns. So much so that I had to go out and, you know, I better not say what was happening, but, you know, it involved, severed digits, which, I can never watch.
Penis?
No, fingers.
Okay, no spoilers. Judith, I junked that film. I junked it. We were going to watch it on New Year's Eve. And you know, choosing your film on New Year's Eve is really quite important.
Yeah, you don't want that.
And I was really looking forward to this because I loved those two actors in the film In Bruges together. It was one of my favourite films. And I thought, it's going to be like In Bruges. It was nothing like In Bruges. I think it's very slow. I got impatient. I thought it looked like a big advert for Toast clothing. And then I did a bit of Googling and I heard that it was going to be very, very violent. And I just thought, not on my New Year's Eve.
I think not ever, to be perfectly honest, for me.
But it's up for all the awards. Totally.
I know it is.
I think both the actors are brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And I think it's a real divider. We'll get a lot of emails.
We will.
And we don't mind that. You're very welcome to email. And it's olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
Hey, get you.
Me. Yeah. Now then, books, Judith.
Books.
Last week I mentioned that I had embarked on Spare by Prince Harry, but not entirely by Prince Harry. No. Also by his Pulitzer Prize winning ghostwriter. And you poo-pooed it a little bit. There were two things you poo-pooed, My Visible Mending and Spare by Prince Harry. But what has happened this
Guess
week?
What?
Has there been a U-turn?
There's been a U-turn. Well, only because everybody is talking about it. And it is, you know, the national conversation. Sienna's reading it here. Ellen's reading it. Or, you know, Woman Mates are reading it. So I thought, well, I better. And you said it was actually well written. So I've downloaded it. Can't stop listening to it.
There are things in it that my sympathies switch with more or less every chapter, and there are a lot of chapters. Some of the chapters are very short, which I think also makes it very Moorish. The ghostwriter has made it into a very compelling read or listen.
I
think Harry reads well. You're not so sure, are you?
I'm not convinced about his delivery, but, you know, nevertheless.
I think you can hear every word.
Oh, you can hear everywhere.
He does that funny thing, though. Harry's accent is very reminiscent of... I worked with Jamie Lang on Pottery Throwdown, another posh boy, Chelsea, and they do not pronounce their T's. So Harry says, chapter 29. They do not... They've spent quite a lot of time in America, and it's just a posh kind of Chelsea slang thing. The T's are not sounded. Interesting. Anyway, so I find that I'm very conflicted by the book. And for every moment I feel total sympathy and rage on his behalf because of what's happened to him and, you know, how he was... The core of his tragedy all goes back to the loss of his mother. The trigger for all his woes is the death of Diana and his utter loathing of the press. And some of this is very personal. Yeah. It gets a little bit voyeuristic at times. But there are other chapters where I think, similarly to you, where I think you're coming across now as a privileged whiner.
I think what's extraordinary is the detail of royal life. So, for instance, we now know that the king wears eau sauvage aftershave and a lot of it. We know what Balmoral looks like in great deal, the fireplace in the lobby, the rooms they had, and the Christmas routines when they open their presents, and that, you know, because they are they're my football team in some ways. I can't stop reading it for that. Completely immersed. But I bet you it's a bad move because the royal family were always, weren't they, mysterious. And now all of a sudden it's like over and above what Harry is saying about the royal family, it's like he's opened up this chest and shown us all the crown jewels, literally. And somehow it's losing its mystique. And that,
it's all
and
the
that
crown
might
jewels,
be.
But it's also all their underwear. It's also everything. It's every sort of broken toy in the box.
Absolutely. It's a
very difficult one. And I don't know how well advised he's been. And sometimes I just think there's a chapter where he makes Will's wedding sound so utterly joyless.
Gosh, that just
sounds peevish.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I think we'll get emails on this as well. But just so you all know that neither of us are, well, I particularly am not on any side whatsoever on this case. I think that it's just terribly sad. And that there's a bit of me that despises myself for wanting to read the book. But, you know, I'm as nosy as everybody else.
Can't stop.
So there you go. And there'll be a few listeners going, well, I am never going to read it.
I think a lot. And that's fine. And I understand that because in many ways, he does just need to get over himself. You know, in some ways he does.
Right. There you go. Right. It is time for emails. Lots of lovely emails about June and the funeral. One really made me laugh. I mean, because in death there is comedy, as we know, that terrible kind of comedy that can only come with death. In Sue's case, her sister went to throw, a twin sister in fact, went to throw a flower into her mother's grave, their mother's grave, and her handbag fell in. And the undertakers insisted on dangling a tall man over the hole, but someone held his ankle so that he could retrieve the handbag.
That's such a wonderful image. Yeah. And of course, I bet you it happens. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another reason why cremations are probably a little bit safer in that respect. No one can fall into the fire.
Yeah.
I don't think. We had another one.
From Melissa. Shall I read Melissa?
Yes.
Yeah. This is Melissa Bastin, who's local to me and who I've met and who did the Poppy's photos a couple of years ago. Lovely woman. Anyway, Melissa wrote in and she said, with a great hot water bottle tale, dating back to when she rented a flat with two other women. And she became increasingly perplexed to see little pink flecks in her tea and coffee, only to start to discover one of the flatmates one morning was emptying her hot water bottle back into the kettle.
Why would you even do that? Marvellous. So, and we've had quite a lot of tales of scalds to nether regions, which is our generation's version of Prince Harry's frostbitten todger. You have to read the book. Okay, older and wider emails can reach us at olderwiderpod@gmail.com. Also, someone's been asking about a mug. Our Older Wider shop should be open on, just on when you Google Older Wider shop, you should find some merchandise. We very much hope the ads are working for everyone. And finally, Judith, a great question from Laura, who asks, do we still eat coleslaw in winter or do we consider it a summer delicacy like flat peaches? This is our kind of question, Laura. What do you say to that?
Of course we eat coleslaw all year round. But possibly, yeah, I mean, you know, come on, Laura, you know us better than that. Of course we do. It's an, you know, it's a daily ritual, really. But I think maybe in the winter, Laura, you know, are more prone to the red cabbage variety.
Be more prone to the red cabbage because I do think that is a more wintry slaw, but my preference is still for a summery slaw all year round. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any time of the year. It's sort of multi-seasonal for us. Anyway, listen, I have to go to my mother's funeral. I have to start the journeying. And I will be back very shortly and we will reconvene next week, will we not, Judith?
We will. And in the meantime, I'm sure everybody in the gang joins with me in saying courage, Jenny. And, you know, I hope it goes well.
Well, thank you to you and to Daisy. Yeah. You know, you both of you were so kind when it first happened, sent flowers and did the whole shebang.
Oh, don't be
daft. You know, they're still there. Yours and Daisy's flowers and some others from other people. Still got them. They're on the droop now, but aren't we all?
Listen, exactly.
Everybody. Love you and leave you.
Okay. All right. Bye, Jenny. Hope it goes well.
Hey, and get better, Judith. Lots of love.
Bye-bye. I will. Toodle pip.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.